We're going to be in Matthew 10th chapter. You know, last week, Linda brought us a clip of Billy Graham, and we looked and we saw what a great thing just one man can do. Just one faithful servant, a little farmer boy, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and has been able to lead millions of people to Christ. As I was thinking about that, I thought about the disciples that began the ministry with Jesus Christ. 12 ordinary, everyday people, where the numbers went from 12 to today, 3.2 billion and climbing. But what do we really know about these disciples? Certainly we know more about some than others. But if it weren't for those men, we probably wouldn't be here today worshiping. They literally were able to change the world. Those 12 committed men willing to do what God had for them to do. I want to read, I'm going to be beginning in Matthew, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, then I'm going to skip over to verse 27. Read along with me in Matthew, the 10th chapter. And it says, "And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first is Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus was the surname with Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. Ye have received, freely give. Provided neither gold or silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, not yet slaves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And to whosoever the city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it, and the house be worthy. Let your peace come unto it, but let it not be worthy. Let your peace return to you, And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart, come out of the house or the city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Then I'm going to skip over into verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, I speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. And fear not that which kills the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more than the value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny my Father which is in heaven. When we think about the apostles, we don't know a whole lot. I mean, if you read the four Gospels and Acts and the apostles, that there are things we learn about Peter, James, and John. We even know a lot about Judas because it talks a lot about what Judas did. But what about the other eight? We don't know them other than by name, and even that can be confusing because sometimes they had two names. For instance, Bartholomew is sometimes referred to as Nathanael, and Jude is sometimes called Thaddeus. Matthew is also called Levi. It's confusing. And we don't know a lot about these men that changed the world. But there is one thing that they're all in common. All of them, except John, suffered a violent death because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. They weren't just disciples by name. They were disciples by heart and by spirit. They were so committed. Once the Holy Spirit got into them, they were so committed to Jesus, nothing could turn them away. They were willing to die these horrible deaths. They were willing to go into a fiery furnace. Daniel was willing to go into a lion's den. These men in the old times, they were so committed to Christ. They would do anything that God asked them to do. One of the saddest parts about this scripture that we read is over in the fourth verse, the end, where it says that Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. Before I get to that, let me point out something to you here. When I read you the names of disciples, did you notice that they were always in pairs? They were paired with somebody else. I think that as a rule, God's servants tend to work best in pairs. I mean, Moses needed Aaron. Peter needed Andrew. James needed John. Paul needed Barnabas. I need Priscilla. We all need each other, right? We do better when we work together. That's the importance of being part, to be a member of a church, that you can work together with people. If you would, in that scripture, in the third verse there, it said, and Bartholomew. Do you know there's not one place in the whole New Testament when Bartholomew is not mentioned? It doesn't say an and before or after his name. It's always and Bartholomew, or Bartholomew and somebody else. Maybe he just was a man who never began to work himself, but maybe he was also a man that was always willing to step up and help somebody that had already started something. There are a lot of people like that. Listen, maybe today you don't feel like you are qualified to be a leader at the church, or maybe you don't feel comfortable standing in front of people and speaking. But that doesn't mean you can't be a vital part of this ministry, of God's work. You can be an and person. You can be like Bartholomew. You can be willing to step in and help wherever help needs to be. You can be like that horse with the harness on, ready to be part of the team, ready to get busy and do things. You don't have to be out in front to be one of God's people.
Amen.
You can be an and person, and you can take that and wherever you go, and wherever you see need help, every place you need to see comfort and guidance, you can join in and be that and person like him, you know. When I think about Judas in that fourth verse there, we all know what Judas did. We've read the story many times. What we forget, that Judas was like a brother to these disciples. He was a big part of what they were doing for almost 3 years of Jesus' ministry. Judas was preaching Christ to other people. He worked miracles in the name of Christ. He was so trusted by the disciples, they entrusted him to be the treasurer, to one that takes care of all the money and keeps up with that. And yet, he is the one who in the end betrayed Jesus. That should be a serious warning to all of us disciples of Christ. We can't just be disciples by name. We cannot depend on doing good works to make us disciples. We cannot justify ourselves by being able to do, to use the gifts that God has given us. It takes more than that. Judas was a disciple by name only. He never bought into this. He never became filled with the Holy Spirit like the other disciples were. Satan is, believe me, he's He's more clever, more cunning, more powerful than any of us on our own. Satan tried to tempt Jesus when he was at his weakest. You know, he'd been in the wilderness for 40 days. But Jesus wasn't able to tempt Jesus. But he did the very next best thing. And Satan infiltrated himself into the closest people to Jesus. He infiltrated into this close group of people and turned one of Jesus' own against him. If Satan can do that back then, he can do that now. We need to understand we have power, we have strength in numbers. We need to be united together. We need to be part of a group. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're working together with other brothers and sisters in Christ to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, Satan doesn't have a chance. He is not stronger than us if we have Jesus Christ inside of us. The scriptures clearly say we can walk on him. But we can't do it on our own. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we need the encouragement and being the encourager to other people. It's important as Christians that we unite together. If we have Christ in our heart, there's no room for Satan. So Jesus, he sent out these men to proclaim the good news. He gave them instructions on how they can perform signs, and he gave them the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those with leprosy, and to drive out the demons. And then he gave them special instructions about where they were to go and where they were to stay. The scripture says, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. And you enter that home, give it your greeting or salute, as it said in the scripture. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Here's the question for us today. What if one of the apostles came to Barnabas Baptist Temple? What if they stood at the back of the church and just looked at us? Which one of us do you think would they find worthy? What about our homes? What if an apostle came to your house? Would the apostle be able to leave peace there, or would you have to take it with him? You know, our home needs to be worthy of this New Testament sense of worthiness. It's not, your home is not about how big it is. Right. Your home is not about how well decorated it is. Your home is a place where is there peace and joy and comfort? Is there arguing and bickering and fighting all the time? Or is there peace? Can children be at this house and be nurtured and comforted and disciplined, but yet still they know that they are loved? That's what a home is about. Our home should be a place that we go to get away from the world. It's a place that we can come and seek shelter and comfort and peace. You know, it's springtime. Some of our homes need to be spring cleaned. Sometimes our homes need to look at the kind of environment that we have in our home. Is it a place of joy and peace? Do we receive other people into our homes? Can people come to our homes and feel comfortable there? Is there a place where they can be able to have peace? If that's not where your home is, if that's not what your home is like, make it that way. You're a child of the God who can do all things. You can have peace in your home and in your workplace and in your life. And it's so important. For that, Jesus said, if you go there and there's no peace, turn around and leave. Get out of there. Shake the dust off your sandals and go somewhere else. I would hope that that one of the apostles could come to our houses and wouldn't have to leave and go down the street and find somebody place else. They could find that peace there. Jesus instructed the disciples to speak boldly and without fear. Listen, so many people, and I've heard it before and I know you have too, so many people try to encourage people or entice people into Christianity and tell them, boy, once you become a Christian, your problems are over. No more suffering. You're on easy street from then on. And Jesus knew better than that. And he knew that we were going to have to endure trials and tribulations. And he warned us that we need to be ready when they come. We as Christians, born again children, we need to be the ones to speak the truth, and we should proclaim it publicly and boldly. We should not have any shame or ridicule of people who just don't want to hear it. Our responsibility is to put it out there. Then they have to do something with the message we give them. Because of the way the houses were back then, those were flat housetops, roofs. Scripture talks about a lot about shouting from the housetops. It was much easier to get your message across, much more bold to stand on the housetop and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ than while standing on the crowded streets. So Jesus says, you need to be bold. You need to stand on the rooftops. These rooftops underline the boldness which God wants us to have.
Amen.
Jesus assured the disciples that they could count on the sovereignty of God. He told the disciples, listen, the cheapest bird in the market was a sparrow. It was sown to only the poor people because it cost little or nothing for that. And Jesus said, if these birds, which have so little value, mean so much to God, so much that God sees them when they fall, that's how much they mean to Him, how much more do we mean to Him? What Jesus is saying is, there is nothing that happens to you that God does not see. There is nothing about you that God does not know.
Amen.
The scriptures say they know how many hairs are on your head.
Amen.
Some of us is getting fewer. But God still knows the number of hairs on my head.
Amen.
That's how much He knows about me. There is nothing that happens to me that God does not see it happen. Finally, Jesus says, if we will be faithful, if we will speak the message boldly, if we will confess Jesus Christ in our witness to others, He will confess us to His Holy Father up in heaven. If we're willing to confess Jesus Christ in our ministry, if we're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in the way we speak, in the way we act, and listen, sometimes we mess up. Yeah. I kind of messed up today, and I'm sorry. I told Kelly to shut up. That's not something I should say to you, you know, but there's better words. There's hush, other things. But the words we say, the way we act, the things we do, if we do these things and we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then He's going to confess us before His Father. One day we are all going to have to be judged. We're all going to have to stand before Christ. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess. If we do not confess Jesus Christ, He will not confess us to His Father. In fact, the scriptures say, He's going to say, it's like, I never knew you. I never knew you. As members of this congregation, as a body of believers who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we believe that He came and He can forgive us our sins. We believe that. We confess that. Nobody else can we confess our sins to and give and receive forgiveness like Jesus can forgive. Mm-hmm. We believe that He died on that cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
That He rose again.
Yes.
And we believe and we know that He's going to come back for us. That's who we are as Christians. That's who we are as believers. We are brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
united in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
We can all join in and be part of this ministry. We can all join in and be part of the family of God. We're all important. God doesn't put any more importance on anyone. God loves us all the same. There's no level of love for God. God cares about us from the moment we were born, and He's going to want us to spend eternity with Him. We need to join together in this beautiful ministry that we're in this wonderful work that we have to share boldly the message of Christ. Listen, we can't help everyone. We can only help those that we reach. So let's never stop reaching. Amen. Let's never give up and quit reaching. Let's be always looking for a chance to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's, Heavenly Father, as we look back on these men, how committed they were. Not just these 12, Father, but men through the scriptures in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Father, there are just so many examples of people who are so committed to You. They would do anything to serve You. Father, that needs to be our commitment today. Father, we need to talk about the idols that we put before us, like we talked about in Sunday school, and how we put other things ahead of You. Father, you need to be the most important thing in our life. Our commitment to You should not be matched by any other thing. Father, we need to be like these disciples, totally committed, willing to boldly, from the housetops, Father, cry out the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can share with anybody more important than the good news of Christ. Father, as we are Your servants here today, we ask for forgiveness, Father, for sometimes we mess up. We put other things ahead of You. We do things that we know aren't what we're supposed to do, but we do them anyway. Father, we confess that as sin to You today and ask You to forgive us. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank You for this group of believers here today. It's such a special time. Every time we can get together and worship You. Father, we're not the best singers. I'm certainly not the best pastor. We're not the biggest church. We're not the best dressed church. But Father, we want to be a church committed to You, where we can understand what You have for us, and that we can leave this place and be a witness for You wherever we go. Father, I thank You for this group of people, and I thank Amen. You for allowing me to be part of it. Father, may we be an and person if we need to be an and person and join in and help somebody else. Or Father, sometimes maybe we need to step out and begin some work. Whatever it is, Father, You have for us, may we be that person today. Yeah. In Jesus' name I pray. I am so grateful for the chance to be here each week. You know, we have, this is the